Howdy, Day Trippers. Welcome to the Day Tripper Podcast number 2. I'm Chet Garner, your host, and joining me today in the studio are Richie Lozano.
Hello.
And Mr. Todd White.
Howdy.
All right, and today we are talking about the top 10 swimming holes in Texas. So let's jump in, boys. All right. So today's podcast is brought to us by the Highland Lakes of Burnett County. Love that sound effect. It's your gateway to the amazing cabins, resorts, and hideaways throughout Burnett County. If you're looking for a family retreat, maybe a romantic getaway, or just a break from all the madness, check out thehighlandlakes.org. That's thehighlandlakes.org, and book your stay today. All right, thanks much to the Highland Lakes for sponsoring this. And here we go, into the content. Now, I will preface this by saying I don't like top 10 lists. At least, I don't like creating top 10 lists because...
Why not?
I think that creates this idea that there are the best of something and everything that didn't make it is terrible. And I don't like that. What I like to do is to hopefully inspire people just to get out and go. And maybe it's on this top 10 list, maybe it's not, but that doesn't mean it's not worth visiting if it's not. Right? You get what I'm saying?
Yeah. I get that.
Yeah, it is in a way like picking your favorite top. These are my top 10 kids. you know, you're not going to do that.
But if an only child, that'd be kind of awkward.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Especially when they're not number one, like number 10. But Texas has some absolutely amazing swimming holes, and I've done my best to kind of go through them and pick ones that I would highly recommend visiting. Now, my number one may not be your number one, but that doesn't mean you don't need to go out and just jump into all of them. So with that being said, let me just give you all an idea why swimming holes are so amazing to me. I think it goes back to my childhood and something. I mean, swimming holes and barbecue are sort of two of the main reasons that I make the Day Tripper and why this show sort of bubbled in my head. I grew up going to swimming holes, did a lot of swimming, and probably jumped into some bodies of water that I should not have been in. I mean, we were in, yeah, I'm literally the refinery is glowing right off the shore, and you see something pumping into the water that smells kind of funny. It looks a little off color, but we were swimming in it anyway. I think we just, yeah, it was the way you pass the time. I mean, I'm not from a big city, and so you did what you could. We went swimming a lot, and
I was always at our neighborhood pool, so yeah,
there you
totally
go.
Get that.
I mean, It's ridiculously hot in Texas, and that is really the one fail-safe way to stay cool. Find a body of water, jump into it as fast as you can.
You know, and growing up, they didn't have all these fancy water parks like they do now, so swimming holes were all we had.
That's true. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's a good point. I mean, you had like Schlitterbahn, Wet n' Wild, and then you had the neighborhood pool or a hole in the ground that happened to have some water in it.
But now most of your big cities or your smaller towns have got splash pads.
Oh, great splash pads.
Yeah.
We know the splash pads well. I've got three kids, man. And we're at those things all the time. And they're fantastic. But to me, they're really no substitute for a, you know, God-created swimming hole in the ground that's full of water. I mean, that's really the peak of existence on some days for me is being a human and jumping into one of those things. I'll tell y'all a really sad story that made me realize how precious Texas swimming holes were. And I was on a trip to the Czech Republic with one of my friends, and he is a guy I grew up with named Michael Baker. We swam a lot, and we had our handbook. I think it was Lonely Planet. We opened it, and it said, "The greatest swimming hole in the Czech Republic is only a 4-hour train ride and a 2-hour hike through a national park." And so what did we do? We got on a train. We took a day trip. And literally, we woke up, I forget how early, probably 5 a.m., got all the way out there, and it was one of the most depressing moments of my life because we stood on the banks, looked at the water, and we didn't call those things swimming holes in Texas. We call that just a cow tank. I mean, it was nothing but a puddle that was brown. That, you know those things that are in the pasture that the cows all go and lick
absolutely.
Out of?
Mm-hmm.
That's all this was, and it was supposedly the best swimming hole in the Czech Republic. Well, that made my... You know, wheels start to turn, and I think at that point I realized, whoa, maybe I take for granted all the swimming holes we have in Texas. So, and at that point, I think it sort of solidified my love for swimming holes, and my perfect day has a swimming hole somewhere in it, and barbecue in it somewhere as well, but it definitely has a swimming hole in it. And so, I'm going to go ahead and roll into this, guys. Y'all ready for the top 10?
Do it. Top 10. Top 10.
Number 10.
We're like, this is Casey Kasem with the top 10. All right, so my top 10, we're going all the way up to the DFW Metroplex. And a lot of people don't know that there is a swimming hole in Fort Worth called Burgers Lake. Y'all ever heard of it?
No, never heard of Burgers Lake.
And it is this privately owned lake surrounded by kind of, I guess, an RV park and some picnic areas. But you got this really nice pool of water with rope swings, things to float on, all kinds of people. I think they got, you know, some sand volleyball courts and some games on the side. But what I like most about Burgers Lake is how close it is to the Metroplex, but then also how unexpected it is, because you don't expect to find something like that. Really, it's just outside the heart of the city. So that's number one, Burgers Lake. Couldn't forget about you guys up in North Texas. But now moving on.
Nine.
That's awesome. All right, number nine. I've got Blue Hole in Wimberley.
Let's make sure we know that that's not the Blue Hole in Georgetown, Texas. So when you first put Blue Hole, I thought about Georgetown right away, but this is in Wimberley.
That's right.
Little south.
How many blue holes can there be, though?
Yeah, good point. We scuba it in a blue lagoon in Huntsville, but as far as blue holes go, I know of two main ones, and that's Wimberley and Georgetown. And this one right here, number nine, is the one in Wimberley. We went and filmed there. Richie, remember that? It was like one of the best days ever.
Yeah, we had a good time out there. I mean, we're still working, you know, but we all cooled off a little bit in between. It wasn't for very long, but the cypress trees were really nice there on the water, and it was unexpectedly cold, you know,
sitting
in there. So once you got in, you wanted to stay. But it was actually a really pretty day.
It was. I remember having to like drag you guys out with a stick, like one of those old like canes, you know, that like shepherd staffs that you got to drag the person off the stage with. Because I went with Nate to go film, I think maybe some of the ring swinging, and you guys jumped in. And by the time, you know, we had to leave way too soon. We could have spent all day out there, and you guys didn't want to dry off.
It was so hot that summer.
That was a scorcher.
That was one of the second summer we ever did shooting the show, and that was one of the hottest ever.
It was a burner.
And in Wimberley, it's kind of like we spend so much time in the hill country.
Yep, that's right. That's right. Now, one of the cool things about Wimberley, they've just gone through a huge renovation. Even from the show, it's very different. They got new grass, really cool place to go and chill right now. But I think one of the coolest things is the big, massive cypress trees that Richie mentioned. And then underneath those, there are these rings that swing back and forth. And what you do is you swing the ring, and then you try to time it out, run, jump off the banks, catch it midair, and hopefully not embarrass yourself in front of all the people standing by, which I did multiple times.
I love seeing those, the rope swings at those swimming holes and the stuff people do. That's awesome.
This one's a little different because it's like an Olympic
metal ring. Yeah.
You know, the things that the guys at the Olympics do, like the Iron Cross and all that stuff? It was one of those. And so you had to catch the ring mid-flight. It was a lot harder than it looked. I was certainly more naive than I thought. Like, no big deal. Catch something swinging through midair. Cameras are rolling, which added an extra, you know, element of difficulty to it, I think. But I totally embarrassed myself on that one. And, of course, that's in our Wimberley episode. But that's my number nine.
Number eight.
Ooh, here's one. And this one, folks, is way, way out there. It's the Boquias Hot Springs at Big Bend National Park. Y'all ever been to Big Bend?
Still never gone.
The sound of hot springs, love it.
As long as it's not like hot springs in July, where you're already on the desert floor burning, and then you hop into like a boiling pot of water. That's not very tempting. But the Boquias Hot Springs, you know, they're warm year round, and you know, any other time of year, even when it's just mildly hot, they feel pretty darn good, like a hot tub. And the cool thing is, they're actually right on the Rio Grande River. So when you get too hot, you literally jump overboard into the Rio Grande, and that's flowing, and you cool yourself off. And it feels freezing at that point because you've just jumped out of the hot tub. Did y'all do that as kids as often as I did, like sit in a hot tub and then just spend the whole night going back and forth between the pool and the hot tub, like freezing yourself?
Not really.
Oh, come on.
I've actually done that on vacation in a different country, but not here.
I did that all the time as a kid.
It wasn't a whole lot of hot tubbing.
Yeah, well, we didn't have a hot tub, but my friends would. Some of them did. And, you know, you'd get overheated, and then you jump in the pool, which feels about 10 times as cold as the hot tub you just came out of, and you, you feel like you're going to die, like you lost your breath, and then you go back in the hot tub. You do that all day. One time it was snowing. We went out and jumped in the snow from the hot tub. Am I the only one who's ever done that? I'm weird. If you're listening to this podcast and you've done that, please chime in. Leave a comment on Facebook or on the blog on our website. Let me know that I'm not the only one that enjoys going back and forth between hot springs or hot tubs and normal temperature water. All right, so that's the number 8, Boquillas Hot Springs. It's in the bottom of Big Bend. So just because you've got to Big Bend, you're still probably 2-3 hours away from the hot springs, but it's well worth the trip. All right, number 7.
Number 7. Number 7.
Is that Richie? Did you get Richie to record this? I didn't know about it. Sounds like him. All right. So number 7, we're coming back to the Hill Country with Carousey Springs in Spicewood, Texas. And this, to me, guys, is like an absolute hidden oasis. We filmed our Spicewood episode there, a piece of our Spicewood episode there. And they've got all these springs that literally just come out of the ground. They capture a lot of it. In a natural pool up top, but what runs over and then what comes out of some additional springs kind of cascades over this cliff down into this natural pool with these like sort of limestone on the side to kind of lay out. You got a rope swing there. They've got this little hidden cave that you can go back into. It's incredible.
Yeah, that was another, when we shot out, that was another burner we did there. We had stunts to film too. There was a rope swing with Willie Nelson or something. So, yeah, that one was really fun to be in, but, yeah, we hit the swimming holes when we absolutely have to have it.
There are certain things that we do in public areas that you're like, how are we getting away with this? But, like, I remember sitting on the bank there with this shot, and we had to time it out just as Richie was zooming out the camera that Willie Nelson flew by on a rope swing in the background, full guitar.
That's right. I think we lost some of that costume.
Oh, the beard. No. Yeah, it was the beard. It was the good, like, young Willie Nelson red beard. And that guitar immediately bowed and popped off. It's never been the same. It has become our stunt guitar because she doesn't play anymore. Her music days are over. Mm-hmm. But she's still got some stunt days left in her. I think I'm going to have to smash it on something. But, okay, so that is Carousey Springs, number 7. Moving on.
Number 6.
All right, and this one, we're heading way out to East Texas, and this is one that you don't find on any of the top 10 swimming holes lists, but I grew up going there, Smith Lake in Vidor, Texas.
I will admit I've never even heard of Vidor, Texas.
That's probably a good thing.
No, you've heard of because Vidor, Texas.
Yeah, if you haven't heard of it, that's good, because if you have heard of it, it's usually for bad reasons and not for good ones.
Yeah.
But one good thing about Vidor is Smith Lake. So it is a East Texas lake surrounded by pine trees, but they have a sandy beach there. And the coolest thing that they have at Smith Lake is a giant trolley. So you climb this platform that's probably 20 feet in the air, and you hold on to a trapeze. It's like a trapeze, but it's a trolley, a hand trolley. You hold on to the trapeze, you jump off the platform, and that thing starts whipping down a zip line all the way, probably 200 feet away. You hit the water and start tumbling like a maniac and then let go.
Okay.
And the guy behind you then has to pull it back up to the platform with a rope that's attached to it.
Oh, that's cool.
It's awesome. If you're like me and growing up had no upper body strength, you probably jump off the platform, make it about 3 feet, and then drop 25 into the lake. You're like, oh.
those embarrassing moments again.
Oh, exactly.
In front of all the spectators.
Yeah, right. And when you're in middle school and, you know, the cute girls are standing around, it's very embarrassing. But, you know, you work up your bravery trying at least something new. So it's Smith Lake, Vidor, Texas. That's my number 6. Highly recommended.
Number 5.
All right. Now we're back in the Hill Country. And that is not by coincidence. I think just the way the rocks are in the Hill Country and the springs and the way it rains, we've got some of the best swimming holes in the Hill Country just because of the natural geography of it. So here's another one. One of my absolute favorites. It's in my top 5. Devil's Waterhole, Inks Lake State Park, Burnett, Texas. That was filmed. We filmed that season 1. And this was, again, one of our very first public stunts. We were talking about how the Devil's Waterhole got its name, and we addressed Nate up as a devil who had to appear in the background and go and cliff jump dressed up with a pitchfork and a cape and a tail and all of that.
It was better because no one else knew what we were doing. Yeah, only we knew what we were doing.
They had absolutely no idea.
They stared at him like the fool he was. You know, just like, who is this idiot with a devil's costume?
It was great, though. I think that became one of our most beloved costumes.
It was just a pitchfork and a headband with horns.
That's true. Yeah, he had like some red gym shorts.
Okay.
We tried to consider if we could get away wearing a red Speedo, but that didn't work. But the Devil's Waterhole, one of the coolest things about it is it's part of the Llano Uplift, so it's surrounded, Inks Lake is surrounded by red granite. And a finger of the lake, which is a constant level lake, goes back to this little area called Devil's Waterhole. And on one side, there are these cliffs. And it is one of the few places left in Texas where they haven't outlawed cliff jumping. And I hope that they never do, because it is one of our most treasured pastimes. And they have these sort of smaller cliffs, and then the brave ones can go up to the higher cliff, which is this bigger rock sitting on top of the other rocks. And dude, you think it looks high, and then you stand on top of it, and you know you're high. You're like, this is insane. What am I about to do? But then there's those crazy high school kids who are doing backflips off of it. And you're like, if they're doing backflips, I can at least climb up there and go jump off of this thing. But we didn't swim there, I don't think, when we were filming.
Yeah, we got in.
Did we?
The memorable part was while we were shooting, there was one high school girl that stayed up there at the top for about 10 minutes. Like, no, shit, no. No. And then she finally let go. It was almost a belly flop. I think it hurt. I think it hurt pretty good.
The classic belly flop.
Oh, it's from 30 feet in the air or whatever. That's not just your little basic belly flop off the diving board. So Devil's Waterhole, not only is the water really great, but one of the things that makes it special is the cliffs that you can jump off of. There you go. Number five. Here we go.
Number four.
And number four. This would have been probably number one on a lot of people's lists, but for me, it's still up there in the top five. Barton Springs, downtown Austin. I think the first time you ever went, Richie, was that when we were filming?
Yeah. You know, for living in Austin, there was always something else to do and somewhere else to be and too hard to park and, you know, like...
Oh, yeah.
Somehow managed to skip it.
It takes a little bit of effort. But the cool thing is it's right in the heart of the city, which I think is so just amazing to find an oasis like that. You've got the big hill full of sunbathers. Then you've got the water, which is a consistent and constant 68 degrees year-round. And I don't care how hot it is. That is cold. That's cold. So I call it the Barton Springs two-step. You basically overheat on the hill, then you jump in the water, and you come out when you're almost hypothermic, and you go back up and heat up on the hill again, and you repeat until you're done for the day and you're ready for ice cream, which you walk down the street and get at Sandy's Frozen Custard.
Ooh, sounds good.
Yeah.
That's on my list now.
It's awesome. That, but part of the swimming hole is not just the swimming hole. I mean, it's the full experience. It's spending a day exhausting yourself and then going and rewarding yourself with, I don't care what it is, like, a snow cone or some ice cream or maybe a barbecue dinner, something like that. That's me. That's why. That's my perfect day right there. Mm-hmm. But number four for me, Barton Springs. I fell in love with it in college when I was at UT, and that love continues to today.
Number three.
This one, maybe some obvious affinity for me, Garner State Park. Lakey, Texas. Well, between Lakey and Concan in there. And it's Lakey. It's not Leaky. You immediately, you know, point yourself out as a out-of-towner when you start mispronouncing what the locals say as Lakey.
And there's a whole lot of Texas towns like
that. There are
a
lot.
Like Bernie is spelled Bowern, but Bernie.
But it's Bernie. There's so many of those. That's an idea for another podcast. Mispronunciations in Texas and why we don't care.
I'll make a note of that.
Yeah.
It's a two-parter.
Yeah, no kidding. We could do a whole series on that one. All right, so Garner State Park, it's on the Frio River, or the Rio Frio, if you are so inclined. But the river goes right through the middle of the state park, and you drive in, you've got beautiful cypress trees to jump out of, you've got rope swings, you've got a dam right there that's causing the water to, you know, get somewhat deep. It doesn't get crazy deep. 5-6 feet right underneath the trees. You'd hope it's a lot deeper, sometimes like 7-8 feet, and you're jumping out of a 20-foot tall tree. You're like, sure, I might hit the bottom. Hopefully not. Woo! And you jump. Always check the bottom before you jump out of trees, kids, or off of cliffs. Note to the wise, your public service announcement right now. But
amen.
Garner State Park, I grew up going pretty much every summer as a kid. We've taken my kids back. Absolutely love it. The water is named appropriately, the Rio Frio or Cold River. And there's just a ton of places to swim. And you don't have to go to Garner. I think that's just one of the most easily accessible places. But above the state park and below the state park, there's a lot of places to swim.
And I actually grew up going to the Alto Frio Youth Camp and also at the HEB Ranch as well. And so the Frio River was a lot of fun for me during the summer for summer camps, but also in the winter, going to a winter camp. Yep, we did the polar bear thing, completely stripped down to just boxers and dove in the Frio River in December. Yep,
that was interesting.
Sounds like a prison camp kind of thing there.
It was a basketball camp for the guys, and we were out there playing. And what else do you do to cool off after a lot of basketball? You go jump in the Frio River in December.
Amen, man. Amen. I volunteered. My wife and I volunteered with some Young Life, and we were leaders on some polar bear weekends. And, of course, that's how the weekend – that is the climax of the weekend. Everyone, no holds barred, just screaming like little girls. You may be a girl. You may be just a full-grown man like I was. You're still going to scream like a girl because that water is freezing cold. And the Frio is one of those. You jump in any time of year.
In the hot of the summer, it feels fantastic. But when you first go in, it is iceberg.
Yeah, exactly. Iceberg. I mean, similar to the Guadalupe and the Comal here in Central Texas, of course. Of course. All right. So that's Garner State Park. Been many times. One of my favorites.
Number two
for me, one of the most beautiful places in Texas, Hamilton Pool. My goodness. I've shown this picture to some people outside of Texas and said, you don't think Texas is pretty? Look at this picture. You show them a picture of Hamilton Pool, their jaw hits the ground. It is one of those postcard moments in Texas. We got a lot of them, but Hamilton Pool is by far one of the best. So you have to hike back to it. It's kind of outside of Dripping Springs over there, sort of west of Austin. You hike down this creek bed to it, and you get to it. It is this amazing grotto where you have this limestone shelf that sticks out about, I'd say, 25, 30 feet above the water level. Then there's a waterfall, if the rainfall's been good enough, coming down, splashing into the pool, and you've got just this just little utopia right there in the middle of the hill country.
It sounds gorgeous.
Yeah, yeah. You haven't been?
I have not been there, but I'm getting this view of Hawaii and the waterfall and just right here in Texas, and it's not that far south from us.
That's right.
All right.
It is.
I think we should call that research for the podcast, post-podcast research.
Chet and I have already been, so you're the one that has to go research. I don't know.
Well, but Chet just offered to go along, so I'm going to do that.
Post-podcast research. Well, I think we need you guys to confirm whether or not this top 10 was legit coming from me. So I think there's a reason for that.
Road trip.
We got a lot. Yeah.
Folks, we're going to close the podcast right now and head out. So we'll catch you guys next month.
No need for number one.
Yeah.
All right, guys. But it is that time. We've arrived.
One.
That sounded like the others. We need like laser beams on that one or something.
Number one.
There it is. That feels a little more right there. Number one, way out in West Texas, is none other than San Solomon Springs in Balmoria State Park. That's right. Right down the street from Toya Val. I'm not really sure how they say it. Got to ask the locals so you don't embarrass yourself. But it's Balmoria State Park. And the San Solomon Springs, the way I describe them, is it's Barton Springs in the middle of the desert. So Barton Springs is amazing enough, and it's right in the middle of a lush, hill country city. But you take that thing, you plop it in the middle of the desert, and it becomes all that more stunning. It's very deep in some spots, got lots of natural wildlife in it, and so many people go out there to scuba dive. It's almost like a freshwater reef. Did we just start scuba diving right now?
Todd, don't blow bubbles in your chocolate milk, please. Stop that.
Sorry.
You've got just, again, cold water, but middle of the desert, so it feels great. And it kind of L's, so you really have almost like two Barton Springs pools that meet. And then, this is the same way I feel about cliff jumping. What the heck happened to the high dive? Where did the high dive go? All of a sudden, all the high dives at all of our public pools all across Texas are being torn down. And I guess it's because of the lawyers or something. And I'm a lawyer, so I can talk about that.
It is a shame. I mean, seriously, cliff jumping, the high dives, those are just rites of passage.
That's what I think. And it's one of those things like, do it at your own risk. Of course, there's inherent dangers to jumping off of high objects into water. We don't have to be ultimately responsible for everyone that hurts himself doing anything in Texas. I think that the high dive is a very important part of just childhood. And at San Solomon Springs, they still have a high dive.
Hats off to them.
Yes.
I love it.
Amen. We were there this past year, and believe it or not, my two-year-old wanted to go off of it.
Are you
and
serious?
So I said, all right, life jacket you up. You're going to go to the top. And of course, she got up there and didn't want to do it. So I had to crawl up there. And as soon as I was holding her, she wanted to do it with me. And so we jumped off together.
That's awesome.
She's a brave little gal.
That's awesome.
Very brave little gal. My 4-year-old at the time wasn't going to go anywhere near it, but my 2-year-old was like, yahoo! You know, these sort of things can be safe if you know, they do have some inherent risk, but they're not instant dangerous, deadly. You know, I mean,
no, seriously, they're not. Yeah.
There are ways that they can be done safely, they can be done intelligently, and they can be a whole heck of a lot of fun. And San Solomon Springs is one of the most fun swimming holes in Texas, not just for its high dive, but also for its scuba diving, the freshwater swimming. And guys, this is way out in West Texas. You got to almost make it to El Paso, about, you know, 150 miles or so sort of east of El Paso. So you got to want to get to this one. But by the time you get there, you will absolutely be ready for the swimming hole, and you will love it. So that, folks, is my top 10 Texas swimming holes. I'm going to give some honorable mentions here. Is that okay?
Sure.
Sure.
All right. So these were some that are just absolutely incredible. They probably should have made the list, but I just didn't have room for them. There was only room for 10 guys, but I got to put up there. These next two, I disqualified because they're not technically swimming holes. They're more like rivers, but then I tried to come up with a difference, and I couldn't really do it, because I picked Garner State Park, which is technically a river, but it has a dam on it, so there's kind of a swimming hole there. These two are just rivers, but they are two of the most refreshing rivers in the state, Rio Vista Park in San Marcos and the Comal River in New Braunfels, Texas. Y'all gotta be down with both of those. Those are incredible.
I agree. San Marcos is a lot of fun.
Yep. Oh, man, fantastic. Sure. Blue Hole in Georgetown, of course, is incredible right there along the San Gabriel River. Pace Bend in Lakeway, Texas. That's fantastic. And if you're out on Lake Travis and you're so inclined, you could always head to Hippie Hollow. That didn't make my top 10 list, but it might make some of yours. Mm. I've never actually
Just Google Hippie Hollow.
Don't just Google Hippie Hollow.
Not safe for work, maybe.
Just go and ask someone who's been around Austin for a while what Hippie Hollow is, and they can point you to it. I've never been, so it didn't make my top 10 list.
Enter at your own risk.
Yeah, exactly. Lake Raven, which is at Huntsville State Park out there in Huntsville, Texas, great place to go swimming. And I've been told that the swimming section of that state park is far enough away from the alligators that they're not going to come and bother you. So just, you know, swim at your own risk. I've been out there multiple times, still have both of my legs. And then Zedler Mill in Luling, Texas. So what is that? 1, 2, 3, 6 honorable mentions there. So we could have made a top 25 swimming hole list. That would not have been hard. But the top 10 is what it is. This is the reason I don't like top 10s that much, because you end up leaving a bunch of stuff out. But if you have to pick a best of the best, I've done it for you here today. I hope y'all liked it.
I'll be doing it. Yeah, that was courtesy of my granddaughter, Tatum.
So this is what we call questions from the backseat.
So our first question came from a listener, and they sent this to our questions@thedaytripper.com address. What is the smallest town you've ever visited in Texas?
On the show?
They did not specify that. It's just, what is the smallest town you've ever visited in Texas?
Smallest town. You know, some that are coming to mind are like Luckenbach. That's definitely up there. That's very small town. I've been to Dimebox. Not to be confused with Old Dime Box, which is down the street. Those are both pretty small. But I think the smallest one we've ever filmed at I'm guessing it would have to be Buffalo Gap, population 300-something, or was it 200-something?
I don't know. I think it was just us in that little town. Oh, the little, well, the historic village, it was only us.
Only us.
Which counts as five.
And the nice lady who was working it that day.
That's right.
We had free reign of that place, for better or worse. But, you know, I can remember driving through some towns that were like population 9. Like, did they make a community fund to resurrect that sign? I mean, and what if one dies? What do? You change the sign every time?
Yeah. I mean, well, every 10 years for the census, right? We went to Winchester, and they had to bring back the post office.
Oh, that's right.
That's a town that died and came back. So does that count as small?
Post office that was in the steakhouse.
Right. Yeah. So I guess it's not really a town if there's not a post office.
That's right. That's the telltale sign of a town is whether or not they have a post office, right? Although there's got to be some rural ones that are, maybe they're like unincorporated cities. We need to do some research here about what qualifies you and what is the difference between like a town and a community and then all these other things that we got.
Mm-hmm.
A collection of teepees somewhere, you know.
Zip code.
Yeah, well, a zip code, yeah. A lot of towns in a zip code. All right. So I would say smallest town I've visited, it's hard to say, but the ones that come to mind, I throw Luckenbach up there.
So the next question is, and this comes from Travis, and that is, what is the best barbecue you have eaten on a day trip? Now, we know this is a tough question to answer because really different places are known to have specializations and stuff. So we're gonna break this out. We're gonna break it out with the best sausage.
Ooh, okay.
The best brisket.
Okay.
And the best ribs.
Richie, you go first. I think I got mine.
The best brisket was probably at Luling City Market. The best sausage. Chet's going to say he loves the Hill Country beef sausage, but I'd rather have more pork in the sausage. So Black's Barbecue in Lockhart had a really nice jalapeno cheese sausage that I always liked. And then the ribs, I think just because it's so recent out in Lufkin, we had some awesome, awesome ribs at Lufkin Barbecue.
That's not a bad one. I can't really disagree with you there, Richie, on some of that. Mm-hmm. I'll break this down. Best brisket, I'm going to say Franklin Barbecue. But that's with the caveat. The only way to eat it is to wait in line for 3 hours, take a vacation from work. So if you want amazing brisket that's a little more accessible, I would send you out to Louis Mueller in Taylor. Wayne out there is just rocking, man. His brisket is phenomenal. Franklin being the best, but then there's a lot more that are on that upper echelon right there with them. Sausage? I think I'm going to take you down to my favorite overall barbecue place, and that's Luling City Market in Luling. And, man, this is the only place in Texas that makes those little sausage rings, the ones in Lockhart and Luling. That hasn't caught on anywhere else in Texas, really, but it is the best sausage that I know of anywhere. And it's sort of these little rings, and you can't order like a half a link or anything. You get the whole thing, but they're not that small. Not that big, excuse me. They're more like the size of a ring toss ring, and I usually get a couple of them. Now, I will say they make the worst road food on the planet because I grabbed one to go one time, tried to eat it from Lockhart back to Austin, and the second I bit into it, the grease shot all over my windshield. I almost got in a wreck and died because I was eating sausage on the road. So not the best road food, but it is the best sausage. And then what was the last one? Ribs? I think if you're going traditional kind of ribs, I got to say Lufkin Barbecue is up there. But if you want something kind of special, I'm going to take you to Opie's for hot and spicy ribs. That's in Spicewood. Smitty's needs to be thrown up there for ribs, though, too. I prefer a sauced rib that's been sauced as it cooks. I think you get more flavor in that caramelized, you know, sauce on the outside of those things. Oh, man. Oh, man.
So our last question comes from Deb Hawthorne, and this came in through Facebook. And her question is, how do you choose the locations for the show?
There's a dartboard.
Yeah,
darts. And a map.
And a map. Sometimes we attach little ribbons to a pack of wild squirrels, and then I make Richie or our intern go catch them. I've got a running list of pretty much everything cool I've found to do in Texas. Things people have told me, things I've scribbled on napkins, things I've gotten from Facebook comments. And I compile it in a list. And then I look at that list multiple times a week. And I say, okay, every day trip needs three things. You've got to have good food, you got to have fun outdoors, and then you have interesting culture. And culture can be history or a brewery or a winery or something Texan, whether that's in the past or right now in the present day. And as soon as I find that right mix, but in a spot, then it'll kind of be bumped to the top of the priority list. And then every season, we sit down before the season and say, okay, what are all the cool things we've done? What are some geographic regions of Texas we haven't visited yet that we need to get out and visit, you know, because it's easy for us to trip the hill country and there's thousands of things to do. We could make this about just the hill country, but we need to go and spread out. So we say, you know, we got to get some East Texas in here. As much as we love barbecue, we can't eat barbecue in every episode. So we kind of mishmash this whole thing together, and there have been I've wasted I don't know how many countless post-it note pads. But there's really no rhyme or reason. We just look for those three things, and as soon as we find them, we say, let's get an episode done.
Okay, here on the Music Minute on the Daydream Podcast, we like to feature some great bands that we used before on the show that really accentuate where we're going and what we're doing. You're listening right now to Hacienda, a great band from San Antonio, Texas. It started out in 2008. And if you like their sound and dig it and it's kind of familiar, you're probably listening to some production work from Dan Auerbach of the Black Keys. He's really kind of making some of their sound really gel together and have something that's great for television and for the radio. Taco Bell's used some of their songs for their ads and things like that. We used them when we went in season 4 to Nacogdoches. We did some zip lining, and this particular track just had some great energy that we wanted to convey with you know, the big sky, the adventure, and the young and vibrant kind of feel that some of these towns have. So this was on Big Red and Barbacoa, a great album. So this was Hacienda.
Man, I love Hacienda. We've used a lot of their tunes in some various points. I think we've used some of their stuff in Marfa. We've used a bunch of episodes. They've just got such a cool, gritty sound. You can't really call it it's not really Tex-Mex music, but their album is Big Red and Barbacoa. So something has that sort of Tejano-ish feel to it, but it's rock music. It's blues music. It's all that mixed together. I like Hacienda a ton. Thanks, Richie. Good stuff. All right, guys, I hope y'all like listening to our podcast, The Top 10 Swimming Holes in Texas. Again, this wouldn't be possible without the Highland Lakes of Burnett County. Just absolutely incredible supporter of the show. Again, they have cabins, retreats, hideaways spread across Burnett County, right at the footsteps of the Highland Lakes. So when you get ready for some refreshment, you go find your nearest Highland Lake, jump in. It's an amazing place for a vacation. I got lots of friends. I've been there countless times. My friends go there all the time. I recommend it to family all the time. But the highlandlakes.org is your place to learn more. Again, thanks to Magic Room Studios, Mr. Mark Wilson, for setting us up on the technical side. And again, thank you to all you folks listening in. This has been a whole lot of fun. I'll see y'all on the road. Vaya con Dios, amigos.